How's it going, Andrew?
What's going on, Matt?
Not much, not much. Had a good time at Waukesha's Shrimp Boil last night. That was awesome. They put on an excellent event out there.
What was your favorite part about the shrimp boil?
There's a lot of raffle prizes, but personally, my favorite part was the fact that I won 50-50.
You won the 50-50?
I did,
Did
but
you donate it back?
a good chunk of it.
Dude.
I did what like all Masons do. Like, here you go.
Oh my God, dude. I always put most of my money into the raffle prizes and a small into the 50-50 because I know I'm like, I'm not gonna even win this. I'm just gonna donate it to like a youth group or something.
I kept enough of it to cover what we had spent on raffles and then gave them the rest back. So, but you.
I mean, I think the shrimp boil is like a I think that's a fun event to throw on for sure. And I think you've been to a couple shrimp boil now.
Well, I went to the crawfish boil at
Crawfish and
Hayes.
shrimp,
Yeah, not the
yeah.
shrimp boil. The sausage and the shrimp were excellent. They put on a really nice event. There's a ton of silent auction items. And, it was a good time had by all those Waukesha 37 boys know what they're doing. So.
We like to be boiling fish down here in the south east side of Milwaukee or Wisconsin, because we got the shrimp boil, the crawfish boil, and then there's a fish boil coming up in Ozaukee too.
Yep. Well, it's that time of year. I mean, you got a lot of that going on with, Mardi Gras and everything else and stuff like that.
Lent, and
Yep.
yeah, it's fish season.
It is. That it is. But you have some big, exciting news.
Yeah, I had a call this morning. I'd been trying to find a house so I could stop being a renter for once in my life. And I actually just got an accepted offer in St. Francis.
Congratulations.
And this house is swaggy. I can't believe I got it. Honestly, it was kind of a pain in the butt. There is like, so right now in the housing market, there's like so much, like the buyer can basically set the rules. So they're like, I would like to stay for 45 to 60 days. And I'm like, great. And then they're like, and I don't want there to be an inspection. And I'm like, lovely.
Yeah, the
And
whole no inspection thing, man, that's driving me nuts. But that's like the house buying market right now. You pretty much have to waive an inspection.
if you have five people put in, you're going to at least have 6 to 10 bids on every house. And if one doesn't have an inspections closed, they'll be like, me, I'm going to take that one.
Yep.
And on top of that, they were like, and we want an appraisal gap, meaning if it comes in less. So I ended up putting down 40% above asking, and they returned a counteroffer and said, can you actually do like 10% above asking? And I was like, wait, you're asking for less money? I was like, why?
All right.
And I think they're concerned that they might have been too aggressive, and that when the lender appraisal comes in, they're going to be like, dude, what are you talking about? And so they're like, can we bring it down? But you just give a blank check on the appraisal gap, which just basically means you'll pay the difference if the lender says it's not worth that much.
Right.
And I was like, no. I was like, I'm going to set, I'll give you a parameter. You're not just going to be like, well, Celine, you owe me $30,000.
Right.
So I said, nah, dude. And they wanted 90 days. And I said, nope, you're not even legally allowed to do that with a lender. So here you go. And then they just said, we accept. I went,
Right on.
okay, nice little negotiation. So
That's
very
the
excited.
other part of house shopping right now that is driving me nuts. I mean, obviously in a house already, but Olivia and I are planning on moving soon, hopefully. But it drives me nuts that you have to offer over asking. I mean, that's like walking onto a car lot and seeing a car sitting there for $50,000 and telling the dealership you'll give them 60.
But then on top of that, then you go, okay, I'll offer you way above asking, but if you're not offering it in cash, then you have to go through your lender, and the lender's like, I'm not going to give you a blank check. I will give you what we appraise this house as. And you're
Right.
like, oh, so if you go, hey, this car's worth $40,000, and then you go, I'm going to give you 60, and then your person who you're getting the loan from is like, well, I'm only going to give you 40. And you're like, wait, so
Right.
what happens with the other percent? Like, you pay that. And you're like, what do you mean I pay
Right,
that?
for sure. Yeah. No, the whole thing's it's a lot different than buying a house used to be.
People used to be able to shop around,
Yep.
sit on houses, and be like, oh, I'm weighing my options
And you
and make
offer
demands.
less than they were asking and get an inspection.
Yeah. And then be like, I'm going to make sure everything's right as rain in here. I mean, when I was looking around, this house was basically 50. It was an old house, and the person 15 years ago gutted the thing down to its bones and rebuilt the entire house.
Nice.
So, and then the family who bought it has been in there for 15 years. He's a veteran. They clearly were very tidy, and they put a lot of work into it. I don't know why the moment I saw he was a veteran, I was like, this house is fine. Like, I was like, veterans don't mess around.
Right.
Like, they like things in good order. And they're the kind of people who are like, we're not going to settle for something being broken. At least that's my stereotype. I'm sure veterans can prove me wrong. But most veterans I know are like pretty, they're pretty on top of their stuff. So I was like, oh, perfect. And he had like a massive boat. And I'm like, okay, so he's got enough money to repair things. So I was a little more comfortable waiving the inspection.
Right on. No, that's good. I find that whole thing weird. But nobody's here to listen to us talk about the house buying market. So,
dude, you know that there's some people listening to me and like, God, I know, dude. Right.
Yeah, no, we got a lot of people nodding their heads right now.
Cool. Well, today we actually have a fun topic. This one I've been looking forward to for a while because I love talking about virtue ethics. And today we're going to talk about the importance of fortitude.
Ooh.
Let's kick it.
Loosen up your ties and roll up your sleeves. It's time for Fellowship with Matt and Andrew. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Wisconsin or any other Grand Lodge or any appended body.
All right. So today we're talking about fortitude, and most Masons will be familiar with this. Even in one of our charges, we talked about how it is the, what's the line? It's the Fellowcraft charge says the cardinal virtues are the tenets that we need to make sure that we are striving to do. I'll have Matt pull it up quick. And it's important because as Masons, we always think, well, he's looking it up. We need to be good men. And what is a good man? And how do I become a better man? And one of the easiest avenues to try to be a better man is to use the template of the cardinal virtues, which is why it comes up in our ritual.
Well, it for sure comes up in the Entered Apprentice picture lecture, but
such is the nature of your engagement as a fellow craft is going to be the line after
that line. Okay. Hold on. Yep. Oh, there it is. Into these duties, you are bound by the most sacred ties.
No, it's going to be above that.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. It's been a long time since I looked at this one.
The
your new character is expected that you will conform to the principles of the fraternity and
that's the
steadily persevering in the practice of every commendable virtue.
There it is. And so the practice of every commendable virtue is a reference to the cardinal virtues. And by design, when ancient philosophers were thinking about the cardinal virtues, they realized that all virtues fall within four buckets, which we know from the Entered Apprentice picture lecture is prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. So today I wanted to talk about fortitude, and I think our next episode will be on temperance, because they actually deal with the circumscription of the passions, which we also talk about a lot in Masonry.
Fortitude is probably my favorite one, so I think it's a good place to start.
It also sounds the coolest. Fortitude.
Right? Yes, it's got that. But yeah, I mean, fortitude is, it's challenging yourself, right? To a certain extent, it's all about developing your own mental toughness in certain regards and, you know, making the hard decisions to do the right thing.
And it's one of the hardest ones because, like, the definition of fortitude is a courage in pain or adversity and the struggle to overcome. So traditionally, when the ancient philosophers talked about fortitude, they used to replace it with courage. And then after Christian theologians took it, they actually renamed it as fortitude because they thought it encompassed more equally what they're talking about. And so courage or bravery is a mental or moral strength. Notice that there's a two-part to it, strength in the face of danger, fear, or difficulty. So when you think of courage, you're thinking of like a, you know, a soldier running into war, their ability to overcome that fear.
Right.
But it can also deal with the challenges of just your moral challenges of dealing with a world that is at times very immoral and your ability to stay true to your beliefs and your morality.
Right. And I think it's important to side note there that when you talk about courage or bravery, you're not talking about an absence of fear. You're talking about a willingness to face your fears and push past it. There's actually a really good book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin De Becker, and he goes through the whole book about actually how useful of a tool fear is and how it can make you better, especially if you're willing to face it and challenge yourself to overcome it.
And So it's interesting because when we think of courage, you often think of fear, right? Yep. But what is fear? And I kind of found it when I was thinking about this topic. It's basically fortitude is the ability to do something you don't want to do. Like fear is like, oh, I don't want to walk in that room right now, dude. It's scary in there. And you're like, okay. So it ends up being anything that you are kind of adverse to. And it's one of the passions, because what a passion is basically, it's an emotion that's very impulsive. It's not like something that takes time to like stew. It kind of grabs you and pulls you. So you don't get to think about, man, maybe I'm going to be afraid. It just snap and hits you.
Right.
Or I don't really want to be nervous or anxious. It snags you, hits you. And then the challenge is, especially with fortitude, is having the skill or the practice to stop and detach and make a rational decision and not just be, have the impulse take control of you and go, boom, go, kind of like an action reaction. It's the ability to pause.
Right, right. And, you know, the absence of fear typically leads to reckless behavior, right? It could lead you into, you know, maybe having to pay more attention to temperance, which we'll talk about eventually. But fear is a good tool that can be used when you do take that pause and you put yourself in a situation that is uncomfortable and you want to get past it, right? Like, you know, that's the whole point of fortitude, is facing that fear and try, and maybe you'll never completely get rid of that fear, but you're able to overcome it every time.
I like to view fear similar to a fire. So it's important that the fire is there, because you can use fire as a tool to heat your home, to make food, but it also requires a necessary caution. And if you pretend the fire's not there and you shove your hand in it, you're going to get burned.
Right.
But with prudence, which is, you know, intellectual thinking and reason, you're able to go, I need this as a reminder to make a good decision, but I don't need to be afraid and never use fire, because it has a lot of helpful, you know, ways you can use it.
Right.
And that's how a lot of the impulses are too, because fire is a great analogy to it, because it's hot, it's fast.
Yeah.
It can burn you.
Right. Well, and I think it's important to bring up that as we're talking about fortitude, that we're talking about something that this is you working on you, not just to be a better Mason, but to be a better man in general, which is part of the whole point of the fraternity. This isn't something that's necessarily externally facing. Like, it can be something you're working on for your external stuff. Like, I always had a huge fear of microphones and public speaking. Huge. Like, when I was younger, I would go sheet white, pale, sweaty, and I couldn't even get a word out, right? And clearly, as a Mason and now a podcaster and, you know, doing some social media stuff, that's something I had to face down and get over.
And that brings up a good point on, which we'll talk to you about on, I think, when we get a little farther along after defining it, is how to actually improve in fortitude. And for you, that came with by putting yourself out of your comfort zone and practicing doing uncomfortable things.
Yep.
I saw a video when I was studying on this about how when a fire starts in a house, back to the fire analogy, the normal thing to do is get the hell out of the house.
Right. Like,
but there's certain people who have the job, firefighters, of going into the house. And so they talk about how that is trained by, they do exercises when they're training to try to simulate, to build comfort. And then experience of running into fiery houses is what gives them the fortitude to kind of go against what a natural fear is. And so in your situation, that's the exact same. It's like you had to practice and do to overcome a negative, adverse reaction you had to a certain thing. But before we move into the how, I wanted to talk quickly about the more into the definition, because it helps to know how to interact with it when you know what it is. So in traditional philosophical thought, fortitude actually has five subparts, and that's bravery, which we kind of talked to, mental and moral strength when in difficult or fearful situations, magnificence, which is interesting, which is the ability to accomplish great deeds or arrive at exalted places. So that sounds like it's more of an outcome of having a fortitude attitude. Confidence, you were just talking about it.
Yep.
Patience, which is an interesting one, dealing with frustration, which is it's hard to maintain keep your passions in due bounds. And then one of my favorite ones, perseverance, which is basically overcoming laziness, because you want to be if something's difficult, you want to stop. And so fortitude kind of deals with all of those.
Yeah, it definitely does. And lost my words here.
And maybe I'll help bring you back. So in masonry, fortitude is oftentimes symbolized by a woman wearing usually a helmet or a shield or some sort of armor. And there's a broken pillar next to her that she's usually touching or standing near. Sometimes she's breaking the pillar, which is interesting. And it's interesting. So I did some research on what the symbolism means, because I think Masons like symbols. Why is it a woman and not a man? It's a woman in armor to show that it's not a physical trait, that it's a mental toughness, because they're saying, hey, we're not showing you the brawniest person that you're like, that guy's tough. We're showing you somebody who's soft, but wearing armor to imply this is a internal skill. The broken pillar represents perseverance a lot of the time, because it is a strong foundation, but it's also not perfect. So it takes work to get through. Sometimes she's carrying a club for obvious reasons, for, you know, fighting, you know, for your beliefs or fighting right. for your moral beliefs. But, you know, just a little symbol sidetrack there.
Right. No, that's awesome. And I mean, we find lessons of fortitude to kind of educate us on what fortitude is throughout the Masonic degrees, especially the third. But we don't really teach people the how to get better at it.
Well, and the how is, you really can start thinking of examples, even if you just contemplate on it, do things you hate, basically. But I know that before the pod, you were looking at the picture lecture and what it actually says in a Masonic context. Can you paraphrase that a little bit? Because I know that, I think that actually has some good context.
Yep. And it basically is saying that fortitude is a key tenet to be able to uphold your Masonic obligations.
And you know what, now that you bring that up, that kind of means that like these virtues actually pervade all of masonry, because they're all required to be a moral and upright man, which is what masonry intends to do, make good men better. So it's interesting that they're like, hey, if you don't have the ability to take your obligation seriously, that takes perseverance and it takes fortitude, especially if you're in a fearful situation, which I think, you know, we can harken back to the third degree, which some of our listeners will know about. Yep. That kind of character is put in our face a lot to show us what fortitude looks like, right? Even when you're in a situation that you feel is hard to maintain your obligation.
Right. And I mean, by example, you know, giving people examples, or, you know, you can look at people and be like, man, that person really persevered through something, or that person always puts themselves in challenging situations and rises to the occasion. You know, you can see it in examples, but how do you bring it into your own life?
So I was, you know, how I was thinking about this. So I was studying virtue ethics, which, by the way, if you're a Mason, studying virtue ethics is so rewarding, because it draws right back to masonry a lot of the time. But so instead of studying masonry, I was watching Star Wars, The Bad Batch, which is an animated Star Wars series. And I was like, let's look for
episodes yet. So no teasers.
And
yet.
I was like, let's look for examples of fortitude in here. Where are we seeing fortitude? And so even sometimes as mundane as just watching TV, if you have it on your mind, you can see people doing things that require fortitude and how to do them. So when I was thinking about that, one of my first thoughts came up, how does one do any of these virtues? And it all comes back to prudence, which is intellect, reason, logic, thinking things clearly, and that includes mindfulness. So by cultivating the ability to pause and detach in a situation and think about something before doing a reaction is kind of going to be the most important skill to cultivate for any attempts to be a better person. So along with mindfulness, it comes with the ability to look at certain situations. Let's take patience as an example. Patience is something you can 100% cultivate, and I guarantee a lot of our brethren have had experience as they've aged learning to gain better patience. So let's say apply an example, like if we were doing a training course, you have to drive every single day. And driving every single day for me comes with frustration.
Yeah, tell me about it. I drive for a job.
And it's the moment you could even set into a practice. When I get in my car today, before you get in, say, I'm going to take this as an opportunity as a training camp for my patients. So when you get into a situation like a traffic jam, and you feel that frustration coming on, mindfulness, you feel it, pause and say, I'm going to detach and let go and accept that this is out of my control and not let it give me anxiety. And you'd think that that sounds simple. And I've been doing that for 2 days now. I was testing my theory. Not only is it kind of hard, it actually does work. Like, I found that with this baby I have crying all the time, when I was doing this in the car, I actually was like, the same mindset caught, like, you're getting frustrated, pause and like release the anger and just have a neutral and a kind outlook. And I've only been doing it for 2 days, but I'm going to keep doing it because it's actually kind of therapeutic.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But there is a exercise in patience, which is buried in Wisconsin culture, that nobody ever thinks about as an exercise in patience. White-tailed deer hunting.
There you go.
I'm serious. Sitting in the woods for multiple days and having the patience and fortitude, honestly, to continue sitting in the cold, wait and wait and wait for that one moment that you don't know if it's actually going to come or not. But, and to not give up, not say, well, forget this, I'm going to go back into the cabin, I'm not hunting anymore, I haven't seen anything in 4 hours, so it's not worth it. When, if you exercise patience and fortitude, by hour seven might be when you get lucky.
And it's, well, I mean, first off, that's a fan, and fishing, another patient, like a lot of the outdoor sports and activities requires patience, that it can be helpful when you are aware and you keep the virtues in your mind. When you're in those situations, like you're sitting in a tree stand and you're freezing, your outlook oftentimes directly affects your experience, right?
Right.
So you can have two people in two tree stands. One is miserable, one's not miserable, but they both are dealing with the exact same thing. And it's a matter of perspective on how much they're enjoying it. And I think it can be helpful when you're remembering your virtues. It almost makes me want to make a virtue challenge coin that you can have and look at.
That'd be kind of fun.
New product coming your way from TTF that you can actually go, you know what, this sucks, but I'm going to take this as an opportunity to work on my fortitude and try to make this a positive.
Right.
That can be powerful. That's a very powerful tool to your own mental health and your ability to be virtuous, because I think that virtue, you are what you keep in your mind. And I think the process of keeping that in your mind and reminding yourself can be hugely impactful.
Right. And I mentioned earlier that fortitude is probably like my favorite of the four. I really like the concept behind it. And I wish I would have realized younger in my life all the lessons, because I've been whitetail hunting since I was 12, all the lessons of fortitude that I've learned over the years and actually had paid attention to them more. It was only later in life that I started like intentionally doing hard things to make the easy things even easier, which is something that everybody in my officer line is probably tired of me hearing at this point. But it's true. If you intentionally do hard things, it makes everything else that comes after easier.
And it's funny. I had a conversation, I think it was last year, and this will have to do more temperance, but they both interplay with one another. I was taking a dry month, like a month off of drinking. And all these people, my friends, be like, what's even the point of that? Like, you're just going to go back to it. And I said, but it's the point is doing something hard for the purpose of doing something hard to build the circumscription of your passions, which that'll be a better example that we can use in the next episode. But it still has to do with that perseverance and that ability, because all these virtues interplay with one another. And a lot of my friends don't understand the value of doing something hard for the sake of it being hard. And I think that that's a great way to do fortitude. And another example, I mean, we could do, okay, episode coming to you next hunting season, the virtues of hunting. Let's put that on the books. Yeah, that could be a fun episode.
That could be fun.
But it's the ability to get yourself out of your comfort zone and do something that you don't normally do because your body doesn't want to do it.
Right. And or your mind doesn't want to do it even.
It's usually both.
Right.
And a good example, another way, if you're like, how can I actually start to interplay with fortitude? Exercise.
Yeah.
Exercise sucks.
It can. Or I mean, even like a regimented diet, or even I'm only going to stay on Facebook for an hour today.
Screen time is a big one. And that also, screen time falls into temperance, but right. That's why the thing is, these are so similar because they both deal with the circumscription of the passions, but you need fortitude to be able to apply force
right
to what you're trying to temper with temperance. And yeah, it's doing things that if you can tell right away that it gives you anxiety, but you know, it's positive, that's a good opportunity to practice fortitude
right
and to intentionally do it. So I like to say, you know, we deal with people who are coming new into our lodge and they're getting responsibility and like, I don't know if I can do that. I've never done that before. By making them do it, that is training their fortitude, because another good example is just getting out of your comfort zone. If you see something like, oh, my buddies want to go golfing with me, but I've never golfed. I don't want to do that. That's immediately a fortitude challenge where you're like, but you technically can, and maybe you'll have fun. Put right. yourself out of your comfort zone to practice your skill of saying, my mind's going to lead this, not my anxiety.
Right. And that's really the only way to train fortitude, is to just intentionally do hard things. Now, I went a little extreme a couple of years ago when I did my 75 hard, but that was entirely an exercise in fortitude.
Can you explain what that is to our listeners who might not know, if they're looking for a way to have a fortitude challenge?
I would say, I will preface this with the disclaimer of 75 hard is not for everyone, and it's a very difficult program. But essentially, the basics of it are, a gentleman named Andy Frisella put it out there. The basics is, it's 75 days, no alcohol, drink a gallon of water a day, stay on a regimented diet with no cheat meals at all for 75 days, do 2 45-minute workouts. One of them has to be outdoors. It doesn't matter. It can be walking, it can be running, it can be weightlifting, it could just be, you know, whatever. But one of the two has to be outdoors. Read 10 pages of a book a day and take a progress picture every day.
So that's actually an activity in fortitude and temperance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's lots of things you can find to, if you actually want to put your mind to it. And I think that sometimes Masons are like, well, that's just the stuff in the ritual. I'm supposed to gain that just from, you know, being around the ritual. That's not true, though.
No.
And it's important to remember that you're being asked to put into Masonry what you want to get out of it. And so if it's saying, hey, you need to try to actively participate in these cardinal virtues, it's told to us twice, then it can be a really fun and rewarding journey to select one and go, okay, I'm going to start with fortitude this month, and I'm just going to look up research, try to figure out a couple of ways. You could do 75 hard. You could say, I'm going to go to the gym and try to push my, you know, weightlifting. You could say, I'm going to try to push my weights. Right. And that's, or go running, go for a walk, even something that you don't want to do. Go to a walk in all weather. Like if it's raining, that's a fortitude challenge for sure.
Even just commit to turning the TV off and reading for half an hour a day.
Yep.
You know, something, even it doesn't even have to be physical. I mean, physical obviously really helps develop fortitude, because as your body gets tired from doing it so many days in a row and stuff, it makes it even harder for you to convince yourself that you want to do it.
Yep. And the ability to set a goal. Okay. So a lot of the ways that you can help with, even with fortitude and temperance, is set the goal in advance. So you schedule time management. Encourage skill is, you could be like, today I'm working out for 45 minutes no matter what. So if 10 minutes in you're like, I think I'm good, you set the goal, finish 45 minutes, even if it's at a lesser weight or anything like that, or whatever it might be, a slower pace, finish the time that you set. Because that's the willpower challenge, is that you say, after 10 minutes I want to give up, and say, but no, my prudent mind had decided for me we're doing this, so we're going to see it through.
Right. And back to an earlier point you made, Masonry says that these four cardinal virtues, and fortitude being one of them, is important. And yeah, we'll give you some examples of it. That doesn't mean there's not great outside sources and stuff, and outside books or outside examples or outside programs that can help you develop yourself in one of these virtues, you know, and help you develop that fortitude. And it's important to remember that we say it's important, and we say it's important because you will be a better person if you develop stronger fortitude, both mentally and morally, and choose to do the right things more often, and have the ability to do the difficult things when they are difficult. And sometimes that means we're saying it's important, now go out and work on it for yourself. But we're telling you this is something you should work on.
Yep.
Figure out the way to do it.
And when we're encouraged to be seekers of light, then you go, there's lots of light. And then masons say, yeah, there is a lot, but I'm going to give you some recommendations on some avenues that would be to your benefit. I mean, if you're looking for books on virtue ethics, you could read the Summa Theologia by Saint
That's a long read.
Aquinas. Well, he also has a short version of it.
Ooh, does he?
He made a modified short Summa called the Short Summa. And I actually found out it's free on Audible. There's another book called After Virtue by Alistair McIntyre, which is really good. And you know who's actually a fun author that does a bit on virtue ethics and who is obsessed with it? There's two authors who you might know who were obsessed with virtue ethics. J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis.
Nice.
If you know him from The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yep.
C.S. Lewis did a book called Explores Vices and Virtues.
Nice.
And that deals with virtue ethics as well. And it's interesting because with those authors, you can see them exploring that topic in their fantasy writing. But these types of books can be very helpful, along with Stoic philosophy in
right.
general.
Right.
They deal with that quite a bit. And then there's also, who's the last guy who they really all pulled from? It was the Nicomachean Ethics by Aristotle, really want to get classic with it. But honestly, I mean, you can read in a book all day. We've said that quite a bit. Right.
And there's more modern examples, too, of awesome stories of fortitude, guys that have books. The first two that come to mind are David Goggins and Cameron Haynes.
Mm.
They're both ultra marathoners. They do like those 100-mile races and all that kind of stuff. Cameron Haynes has like a whole book about all that stuff. I know Goggins has a couple of books, but they are both like crazy examples of fortitude and perseverance.
Yep. And those can all be super helpful. And that's the thing is the only reason that I'd even recommend reading some of these books, some of these topics, if you're so inclined, or listening to an Audible, because that can really help a 10-hour book be a little bit more manageable, is to inspire you and to keep it on your mind. And so I've found that sometimes the greatest personal leaps that I've made in my life has been when I was reading a book on that topic. So I finished reading the book that night. The morning I'm thinking about that book, then I'm finding examples, like even this week, just preparing for our podcast, I'm thinking about fortitude, that I'm trying to practice some things. It's the fact that it's within your consciousness for, you know, a couple of days, a week, maybe a month, depends how long it takes to get that book. Even just doing 10 minutes a day, like you said, in 75 hard, it's like a little appetizer, like remember to be thinking about this.
Right.
That you'll find immense benefits coming out of that. And at the end of the day, you have to pull it out. You can't just sit in the armchair and say, well, I know a lot about fortitude because I've read it. You need to then find ways to apply that.
Right. Well, and even just as we were talking about, as you and I were kind of having conversations over the last few days about fortitude and going into this episode, I started looking back in my life going, where were my defining moments? Where can I look? And I can find a moment where I went, yep, that made me tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That made me more patient.
I thought about wrestling a lot, which they just beat the few. Sorry, I'll beep that, but my God, that really built some fortitude for sure.
Yep. Football, cross country.
Yep. I just cross country too.
Big one.
That's a mental game.
That is.
It's all mental game.
Absolutely mental fortitude when it comes to running long distance. So,
which is why a lot of these ancient philosophers, you'll find out, especially the Greek ones, were actually in pretty good shape because they were identifying that as a method for improving fortitude. Another good example that I found that I never actually attributed to fortitude, but it's always been around with Stoic philosophy, which I've studied fairly extensively, which actually this is the one that's actually made one of the biggest impacts in my life, and also why my wife thinks I'm a robot, is accept what's out of your control.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
And that is a huge aspect of fortitude, because that will be what really creates fear and anxiety when you don't even need it. My wife always thinks I'm a robot because some sort of quote unquote crisis will happen. I'll be like, oh, well, then we just got to do this. And then she'll be like, you don't care? I'm like, there's no point. I can't change anything. I just can go after what needs to be done. And that is a powerful tool in fortitude, is when you take that pause that I keep mentioning and detach, and then mindfulness, like you're in traffic and you're like, what am I going to do? I can't drive in the median. Like I'm not going to stress over what's not in my control. It's huge.
That's something I've gotten better at recently, because I think I figured out that I was like getting too amped up about things that I didn't have the power to change. And it's like, wait, why am I letting that get to me? Like, why is that, you know, like this? Yeah, it frustrates me, but is it worth wasting your time being mad about something you can't do anything about?
Well, it's like in that moment you think, okay, what are my options here? No, like either it's A, B, and you're like, okay, do that. Or it's C, there's nothing you can do about it. And then you just go, oh, well, then I'm done. Like, I'm out of it. Like,
right.
I'm stepping back. There's nothing you can do. Sometimes right. The best solution is just not care about it and be like, I can't do anything about it.
I can sit here mad and upset and go off about it and get myself all worked up for the same solution as if I just sit here and chill.
Yeah, it's good for your mental health. And it's at the same time, it's one of those things, it's the realization that the world wants to burn. Let's go back to fire. The world wants to burn you. It wants to. Let it burn you when it does it to you. Don't sit there burning yourself because it's not really, you know, you can have them poke you with a hot poker, or you can sit there and be like, I'm just going to stab myself with this hot poker because I'm frustrated. And you're like, Right. Well, you have no one to blame but yourself, sir.
That's exactly it. So before we get into news and events, let's bring this home here. There's got to be a good point in here. And I think my parting message on fortitude is going to be, if you want to become stronger in the virtue of fortitude, intentionally put yourself in hard and uncomfortable situations for what your fears are. If you're afraid of being in front of a microphone or afraid of talking in front of a group of people, just start doing it. Or do other things that maybe aren't as uncomfortable and hard for you first, and start developing that mental fortitude, or find a different way, whether it be, I'm going to commit to going for not leisurely walk, but an intensive walk 3 times a week. And when you make that a habit, because eventually it will become a habit, because things that are tough to do, if you do it often enough, it'll become a habit, and it'll become a good habit,
and easier.
And it'll make the next harder thing on your list easier for you to control and overtake and conquer, basically. Yeah. So do something hard. When you get that down, move on to your next thing that is next up on your list for being something hard and uncomfortable for you, and then do that, and you will watch your mental toughness and your fortitude and everything grow, and you will see a change in your life.
I don't know if I can say it better. Do something tiny hard every day. Do something big hard every week.
Yeah, there you go.
And like, to your point, don't just go for the biggest thing all at once. Perseverance is in small steps. It's the mountain moved by the single stone. Start with small, easy, achievable. I've told this to entered apprentices a lot when it comes to using their gavel. I said, pick something small and easy and chip it off.
Yep.
Because once you get good at picking small and easy, you can start to pick bigger things. And I think what I want to send people off with is, to be a good man, fortitude is a requirement, because it is what basically brings the mind and the fears into order in a way that you can apply your moral virtue to them, even in hardship or in anxiety or in adversity. And so to be a good man, taking an opportunity every day and every week in small ways to make sure you're keeping that sharp is extremely helpful for not only your mental health, but also your ability to grow as a man and support your family and your communities.
For sure. This was a pretty serious episode. Let's do some news and events.
News and events time.
I thought you were doing the first one. Oh, I'm doing the first one. Never mind. Just cut that part out. All right. So on to some news. So the Lodi Valley Lodge donated $1,000 to the Wisconsin Heights Archery Club to go ahead and get that group started over there. And I think that's awesome. Being a big archer myself, I really enjoy archery. And actually, it's kind of relevant to the episode, because archery is a exercise in fortitude and patience. It takes a long time to get good.
Great way to help school kids build fortitude, hand-eye coordination, and other skills.
Yep, for sure.
Awesome, a way that we're bringing our virtues into the community. The next news article we got is the Fond du Lac Lodge, number 25. They actually were able to support and sponsor a youth education in the topic of robotics. So they were actually able to help sponsor an event for the science and math curriculum and the robotics team over at NFDL and the robotics team. So that's the Fond du Lac robotics team, and they were able to help that event go on, which is another great thing that we're doing for students and learners in the community.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I know those robotics teams in high school have become huge over the last. There's some big competitions and stuff for that. I would have never been able to do all that in high school.
Me neither.
These high school kids these days are more like college students, it feels like, sometimes.
Depending on what club they joined, for sure.
Right. All right, on to events. on March 3rd, Reedsburg Lodge number 79 is doing their chicken pie pickup at the Reedsburg VFW from 9 to 1. Please see your Wisconsin Masonic Journal or the flyers that have been going around on social media for more information on that. March 9th, we have the Tom Torville Interstate Lodges Table Lodge, 4 p.m. social, 5 p.m. meal at the Tolma Masonic Center. Please RSVP to District 5 Deputy Jacob R. Schultz. March 23rd, we have the Valley Lacrosse Scottish Rite Reunion, Lacrosse Masonic Center, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Also on March 23rd is the District 1 District Meeting, 10 a.m. at the Iron River Masonic Center, and there will be a Masonic Bowling Tournament following at 1 p.m. Public is welcome to the bowling tournament. Please make your reservations with Brother Pat Norton. On March 28th, the Valley of Madison Scottish Rite Feast of the Paschal Lamb is going on. And Andrew, are you taking April?
I got April. So in April, cool event going on at the Scottish Rite Valley of Madison, which they're doing a Native Spirit event. Tickets are $35. Basically, this includes how they're advertising it. Step into the culture and dances of Native America, featuring the beauty of our First Nations through storytelling, music, and high-energy dance. This actually sounds sick, and I kind of want to sneak over there and go to this because this seems like a very cool cultural event about Native American culture and expression of culture. On April 13th, District 5 is having their spring meeting. It's going to start at 7:30 for social hour. They're going to have pancakes and coffee. The meeting's going to be from 9 to 11 a.m., and it's going to be at the Sparta Masonic Center. On April 13th, we're having the Masonic Acts of Kindness Gala right here at Lake Masonic Center. There's going to be comedians and raffles and a bunch of fun stuff, so if you're interested in that, please reach out. On April 20th, Silas Shepherd, 1843, along with James Haynes Lodge, will be presenting a two-person play entitled In Defense of the Ruffians. Very cool education opportunity. I don't think I've ever seen this put on, so it's a very cool thing to check out. They're going to have coffee and carbs at 9 a.m., gavels at 10 a.m., and that's going to be over at the Northwest Masonic Center. On the 24th of April, the Valley of Madison Scottish Rite is doing their spring reunion. They're going to be doing the 4th, 14th, and 16th degree. On the 27th, that reunion is going to continue at the Madison Scottish Rite, and they're going to be doing the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 32nd. So if you're Scottish Rite Mason, make sure you're checking that out if you're trying to visit or if you're receiving your degrees. On April 29th, District 12 is having their spring meeting. Details are TBD. Also on the 29th, so when you're done with your spring meeting, you can pop over to Ozaki Lodge number 17, which is having their fish boil and table lodge. Basically, they're going to start meeting at 5:30 p.m. It's going to open up at 6 p.m. It's $25 a person. All Masons are welcome, but reservations are due by April 25th with Worshipful Master Schroeder. So if you're interested in that, please reach out to him. And on April 30th, we actually have another education symposium by our education committee at the Grand Lodge. I attended the last one along with our other bros, Matt, and it was really cool. Basically, from a high level, what it is, it's a bunch of people within our education committee talking about an interesting Masonic topic. And the topic for this one is going to be the Morgan Affair. Hot button topic.
That is. It's basically a round table, you could call it.
Yep, Yeah, that's what it is. And that's going to be at 7 p.m. And more information on that, you can probably, it'll be in your email, I believe, that's going around.
There'll be email and links out closer to the event since it is over Zoom. So there will be an email link going out probably the week before.
Cool. And this is a great education event. And you can even ask the panelists questions during the event. You can type it in and it's like a live stream. It's very, very cool. And so please check that out.
Another form of excellent Masonic education in the state of Wisconsin. I do want to circle back to one event that we forgot to put on our list.
Okay.
On March 9th at Watoma Lodge, Silas Shepherd will be having their quarterly meeting. I believe coffee and carbs is 9 in the morning and lodge opens at 10.
Sounds about right. But yep, you can always check in the On Your Our Lodge page for exact details on that too. Another great education opportunity coming out of Wisconsin.
Yep. All right. Awesome. Well, Andrew and I hope you're having a great day and
do something small, hard, and big hard this week.
There you go. That's the perfect way to close it out. Have a good one, everybody.
Take care.